Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
An elderly couple was celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. The couple had married as childhood sweethearts and had moved back to their old neighborhood after they retired. Holding hands, they walked back to their old school. It was not locked, so they entered. They even found the old desk where Jerry had carved into it, "I love you, Sally." On their walk back home, a bag of money fell out of an armored car, practically landing at their feet. Sally quickly picked it up, and not sure what to do with it, they took it home. There, she counted the money, $50,000. Jerry said, "We've got to give it back." Sally said, "Finders keepers." So she put the money back in the bag and hid it in the attic. The next day, two police officers who were canvassing the neighborhood looking for the money knocked on their door. Jerry and Sally came to the door, and one of the police officers asked them, "Pardon me, but did either of you find a bag that fell out of an armored car yesterday?" Sally said, "Nope." Jerry said, "She's lying. She hid it up in the attic." Sally said, "Don't believe him. He's just getting senile." The officers turned to Jerry and began to question him. One said, "Tell us the story from the beginning." And Jerry said, "Okay, well, when Sally and I were walking home from school yesterday," and the officer stopped him, "Thank you very much, sir." He turned to the partner and said, "Let's go on to the next house." The Apostle Paul teaches us more about our daily walk here in Romans 13, telling the church to walk honestly, like this man was trying to do. Romans 13, verse 11 reads, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." The words "and that" gather in all the duties that have been urged earlier by the apostle from chapters 12 and 13, from presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice in chapter 12, verse 1, down to the need for the church to love one another in the verses directly preceding this one. And considering the importance of doing these duties, then Paul said, "Knowing the time." The word "knowing" is about perception, being aware of something. And what we are to be aware of and to perceive is the time. Knowing the time is something that we can all identify with, because much of our life and many of our day's activities are based around time. Time to wake up, time to go to work, time to eat lunch, time to go to the doctor or dentist appointment, time to go to the ball game, and on and on. Knowing the time is often linked with doing something in life, and that is Paul's point in these verses. Knowing the time is first about a spiritual perception and sensitivity to the value and shortness of our time and opportunity in this present life. As Psalm 90, verses 10 and 12 remind us, "The days of our years are 70 years, or 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, or 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." But knowing the time is also about understanding the current time in God's plans and purposes. The word "time" is translated from a Greek word referring to an opportune time, critical period, an era, age, or epoch. An epoch is defined as an extended period of time, usually characterized by a distinctive development or by a memorable series of events. Applies to a period begun or set off by some significant or striking quality, change, or series of events. It's a good way to define this age of grace, And knowing the time today is about understanding the dispensation of grace and the opportune time that this age is. The dispensation of grace began with a memorable event, the salvation of Saul on the road to Damascus. It has been an extended period of time of nearly 2,000 years. And it is a unique, distinctive age in God's dealings with mankind, with the striking quality that sets it off that it is all about God's grace that He is showing both to the world and the church today. This is an age in which God is giving all people an opportunity to be saved by His grace and giving those who believe the gospel a heavenly hope. According to God's eternal purposes, this is a strategic time of salvation, marked by the formation of a church with saved Gentiles and saved Jews in one body of Christ. And the church during this period is called to live and serve by the grace of God. We need to know the time in which we live, understanding that time is limited in it, and perceive that the opportunity to serve the Lord in this current age is fleeting and passing. Paul wrote that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Paul piles up time phrases and expressions of time in this passage to emphasize the time sensitivity of his message. The words high time means the hour. Paul says it is the hour to wake up out of sleep. It is time to wake up and get busy for the Lord. One commentator put it well, that it's as though Paul were sounding reveille to rouse soldiers out of their racks onto their feet in the morning. We are to arise and get busy because of the time. Those who are asleep here are believers who are spiritually sound asleep. But this verse, by it, Paul sets off an alarm clock to wake up sleeping believers. And he calls for the church to awaken from being spiritually unconscious, unresponsive, and inactive, to be alert to the things of God and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And in this context of loving one's neighbor, being asleep also concerns our love and concern for others growing cold. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, Paul also wrote to believers, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." The Greek word for sleep is hypnos, which is the source of our English words hypnotic or hypnosis. Paul is telling Roman believers to awaken from their hypnotic states, which are produced by the believer's enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. These three lull the believer into a sleeping, sluggish, and dulled spiritual state. Paul's wake-up call is a call to shake off this slumber or complacency and spiritual lethargy and to be fully awake, fully alive to the purposes of God in our lives. And why we are to awake out of sleep is, as Paul explains, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Of course, Paul, in writing to Roman believers and saints in Christ, he's not referring to salvation from the penalty of our sins and from hell. That was accomplished when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. Regarding salvation, salvation is in three tenses for the believer: past, present, and future. The past tense is when we trusted the gospel of grace, that Christ died for our sins and rose again. At that moment in the past, we were saved from the penalty of our sins, and we experienced justification, or we were made and declared righteous in Christ. The present tense of salvation is about being saved from the power of sin in our daily practical sanctification through the working of the Holy Spirit. The future tense of salvation is about being saved from the very presence of sin at our glorification, when we are in God's presence in glory and our bodies are glorified. When Paul says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed," he's referring to the believer's future and final dimension of salvation, our glorification. Paul wrote of that glorification earlier in this letter in Romans 8, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Paul's looking forward to that wonderful day when we receive our glorified bodies and experience freedom from the presence of sin. This glorification takes place for the church, the body of Christ, at the return of Christ at the rapture, prior to the beginning of the future tribulation. This salvation and glorious event draws closer with each passing day, and it is nearer for the believer than when we believed in Christ as our Savior and we were redeemed. Paul expected the rapture at any moment, even in his time, and therefore he challenged the church to always be ready and to have a sense of urgency as we live in light of the imminent return of Christ. The time grows ever shorter. Every day, we are one day nearer the great day of the rapture. We move forward towards it. We move closer to our glorification. The final phase of our salvation at the rapture could take place very soon, even today. The emphasis here is on the brevity of our time on earth, the limited time of the dispensation of grace, and the imminence of Christ's return to motivate the believer to awake and to be sensitive to spiritual realities and the importance of living for the Lord. He's saying that we can't afford to be sleeping right now. He's telling us that it is time to get serious about our faith because the time is short. The dispensation of grace will only last so long. Our salvation, the rapture which closes this dispensation, is always nearer and could take place at any time, and so we must engage in our Christian life and seize the opportunities to serve the Lord. Romans 13, verse 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Night, of course, is the period between sunset and sunrise, that part of the day that lacks light. Metaphorically, the night here describes the period of moral and spiritual darkness that enshrouds this world during this present dispensation of grace. This dark, sin-dominated world is profoundly opposed to Christ, the light of the glorious gospel, the light of the Word of God, and the people of light, the church. In this passage, Paul uses the metaphor of night to refer to the spiritual darkness, wickedness, and ignorance of this present evil age. The present time, while Christ is at God's right hand in heaven, while Satan is at work as the god of this world, while unbelief pervades the world, is appropriately described as night. But Paul says that the night is far spent, or it is far along and almost gone. The present age is like a long, dark night of sin, and Paul says it's just about run its course. The end of the age is certainly much, much nearer now, since 2,000 years of human history have taken place since Paul wrote these words. And Paul says, the day is at hand, which is the day of Christ, the day of glory, the day of the rapture. And Paul wrote that it is at hand, or it is drawing near. In other words, it's about to dawn. Dawn could break at any time, and Christ could suddenly descend to this world in the clouds with the sound of a trump, calling forth the dead bodies of those in the church, and then catching up the living members of the church, and then taking us all to heaven. Paul portrayed the time of Christ's return, our transfer to glory, and the glorification for believers at that time as the beginning of a new day for us. And it really will be. as we will then be forever with the Lord, with Him, in the place of pure, unclouded, and eternal day, living in that state of glorification forever and ever. In light of the nearness of the day of Christ's return, Paul wrote, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." This is a call to revive our spiritual awareness, to be conscious of our actions before others, to live in a manner that reflects our light in Christ. As we draw nearer to that day of glory and glorification at the rapture, we're called to lay aside those deeds and habits associated with darkness, unbelief, sin, this world system, and our former life before Christ when we were in spiritual darkness. The words "cast off" refer to casting off clothes. When Stephen was being stoned, Acts 7:58 states that the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. The words "laid down" are translated from the same Greek word as "cast off" here in Romans 13. So like casting off clothes, Paul is teaching the church to cast off the works of darkness, to throw off once and for all the garments of worldliness, sin, and unrighteousness. This casting off implies a conscious decision to turn away from sin and wickedness and to rely on God's grace to do so. And then after casting off the works of darkness, then we need to put something on. And Paul tells us to put on battle gear, put on the armor of light. Let us put on means to let us clothe ourselves with. This armor of light is the full armor of God, as described piece by piece in Ephesians 6. There we're told to take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Believers are soldiers in a spiritual conflict who need to be alert and equipped for battle. This armor of light refers to righteous, Christ-honoring living. Being an armor of light, therefore, the apostle means those graces which stand opposed to the works of darkness, which are cast off. This armor of light is for the purpose of spiritual divine protection in our battle against Satan and his workers of darkness with their destructive schemes. It's protection as well against the darkness of sin and worldliness to which, even as believers, we are still so prone. But by putting on the armor of light, we are equipping ourselves with the light and strength of God to withstand these attacks that stem from the darkness. It is an armor of the light of goodness, righteousness, and truth, which reveals Christ's light within, so that the world and those who are in darkness may clearly see Christ and His light within us. Alexander McLaren put these verses this way: the language is vividly picturesque. The darkness is thinning and the blackness turning gray. Light begins to stir and whisper. A band of soldiers lies asleep. And as the twilight begins to dawn, the bugle call summons them to awake, to throw off their night gear, namely the works of darkness, and to put on their armor of light. Romans 13:13-14 read, "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." When Paul says, "let us walk," he's referring to the believer's daily life and every step we take, every place we go, and everything that we do and say. Knowing the time and anticipating the return of Christ, God would have the church committed to a right and proper walk in life. It's not a time for the church to sleepwalk, but instead to walk honestly, as in the day. As a result of putting on the armor of light, To walk honestly means to live properly, decently, honorably. It is to live honestly before the Lord and before others. It's a call to integrity, to consistency in our faith, and to live out what we believe. To walk honestly and decently is about avoiding the works of darkness. But it is not only about that. It also concerns actively seeking to do good and extend grace. It's about following Paul's instruction in this context to love one another and to love thy neighbor as thyself. It goes back to the context of all that Paul instructed from chapter 12, verse 1 down to this section. Things like distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Paul adds that we should walk honestly as in the day, or as people walk and act during the day when everyone can see and know their actions. The apostle exhorts the church to live honorably and properly as if their conduct were always seen, and they had nothing which they had to hide or conceal. Paul's point is, although believers are still living in the night of this present evil age, they should not walk as night walkers, but as day walkers, those who walk as if their actions were in full light and subject to full disclosure. And we are to walk honestly as in the day because we are of the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 states, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Walking honestly then is about walking properly and consistently with who we are in Christ as light and children of the day, as we wear that armor of light in light of these things. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 teaches that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. This honest and proper walk is for the purpose of being a testimony to those who are without, meaning without Christ, without hope or life in Him. We walk with integrity and dignity, living out what we believe for the purpose that we may be a light and reach others for Christ. The second half of verse 13 contrasts with the first half. Walking honestly or decently is contrasted with what is indecent or improper and what is not love. Paul presents three negative couplets: not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. The Amplified Bible explains this verse as not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and debauchery, not in quarreling and jealousy. These are some of the works of darkness that we are to cast off, as Paul mentioned in the previous verse. Verse 10 states that love worketh no ill to his neighbor, but all these are things that are not real love and which do harm to others. They stem from a determined selfishness and pride that seeks only one's own pleasure. Then in verse 14, Paul stated, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on again means to put on clothing. To put on the armor of light, as Paul instructed in verse 12, is done by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. To put on Christ is as it pertains to our walk and warfare. And seeing that our walk and warfare are things that are part of our daily experience, we are to put Christ on and keep putting Him on every single day, because we need Him and His grace all the time. To put on Christ. This part I like about this instruction. To put on Christ is not to hide what's inside the believer, but to boldly display our true identity and whose we are that we belong to Him. To be able to walk honestly, properly, decently, as in the day, living openly, as if all our actions were in full light, we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. One author put it, "When I get up in the morning, I put on my clothes, intending them to be part of me all day, to go where I go and do what I do. They cover me and make me presentable to others. That is the purpose of clothes." In the same way, the apostle is saying to us, put on Jesus Christ when you get up in the morning. Make Him a part of your life that day. Intend that He go with you everywhere you go and that He act through you in everything you do. Call upon His resources. Live your life in Christ. Paul does not say, put on purity, meekness, humility, kindness, grace, and so on. But he does say this, and so much more, by simply saying, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting on Christ is about a life of surrender to His will, is a deliberate, conscious, willing acceptance of His lordship over us and our actions. It is about our need and desire to be more like Him and to show Him through our lives. And by putting Him on by His strength, we will be able to obey the second half of verse 14 and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That act of faith of putting Christ on is about making Him the power of our practical sanctification. By putting on Christ, we are putting our trust and confidence in Him, not ourselves. William Barclay has said, the best way to prepare for the coming of Christ is never to forget the presence of Christ. And this passage reminds us of both by telling us to put on Christ and challenging us to carry out the instruction of these verses in light of Christ's return. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.